This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. It's a big show coming up here. Double guest Wednesday. I always like the double guest shows. Eric Halterman's going to join us. Got a Christopher Sanchez prop from him, among other his baseball insights for us today. Ryan Andrade is going to join us to talk a little golf. Len Hochberg on vacation. Don't worry. Our stable at RotoWire is deep when it comes to golf. He's going to help us preview the Charles Schwab Challenge. And then we got our best bets to finish up the show. Nick, we got to start off, though. Thunder with an emphatic win, game five win over the Spurs. A lot of negative talk going into that game. They answered in superlative fashion there. 127-114 win.
Yeah, Jeff, a game that really did not play out at all how I expected it to. As you know, I liked the under last night. And if you watch the game, as you know, that was pretty much gone a few minutes into the second quarter. It's like I like to track the live totals. You know, you're doing the math in your head, but you're trying to check in and see, all right, you know, what do we need here? What do the books think? And it's like live total 243.5. Like, oh boy. All right. We're not in good shape here. But yeah, the Thunder were really the side, Jeff, that I was a little bit more concerned about offensively, even playing at home, you know, based on what we saw in game four. You know, you don't want to, you know, base everything off of a one game sample, but you know, we've had an inkling that Jalen Williams wouldn't be playing. We knew AJ Mitchell wouldn't be out there. And yes, we knew that, you know, the Aaron Wiggins and the Jared McCains and the Alex Caruso's of the world wouldn't be as inept offensively as they were in game four. But I also didn't see this degree of a bounce back coming for McCain specifically, who ended up in the starting lineup. They pushed Cason Wallace to the bench. And Cason Wallace, by the way, you know, it was a relatively quiet night offensively. He was a plus 29 in 31 minutes. I thought both he and Isaiah Hartenstein were kind of the unsung heroes last night for OKC. We had the best Chet Holmgren game of the series, Jeff. He got off to a really good start. I think he hit his first four or five buckets of the night. It also says something, though, when 16 points and 11 rebounds counts as like this big breakthrough for Chet Holmgren. I was just saying on a numbers game earlier, we're kind of in Jalen Duren mode right now with Holmgren, where you'll just take what you can get. His PRA number, once again, floating around that 23-24.5 range for game six. But bottom line is OKC came out, did exactly what they needed to do. I thought a really, really impressive offensive effort, despite being down arguably your second and third options with how these playoffs have gone.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about the stool, at least I was a little bit there yesterday. And Chet, at least, you know, he wasn't full on the same type of guy that he was in the regular season, but he gave you something. And that was nice there. McCain with a big, big game stepping up there. I thought, you know, McCain stepping up like he did, hitting the you know, is 3 of 9 from three, but still 20 points. You know, I'll take 3 of 9. Caruso, 4 of 8 from three. That was obviously pretty huge as well. Those two guys kind of filled the void left behind from Mitchell and from Williams as well.
Yeah, and look, something to notice with McCain in this series is he's not just firing away from three. You know, that he is kind of a three-point shooting specialist in some ways. That was his role, at least, after he came over from Philadelphia. And that's what you think of first with McCain. But I he's been really aggressive getting to the rim, getting to the mid-range. You know, it's not just spot-up threes with him. And I think that maybe isn't something that the Spurs were prepared for in this series. So as we spin ahead now, we get a night off tonight, and then we get game six tomorrow night. OKC, a 3.5-point dog in San Antonio. Of course, a chance for the Thunder to punch their ticket to the finals. I am holding that OKC in six ticket, Jeff. That would be a nice one for us. I also really want to see a game seven. So there is kind of some like emotional hedging going on here. That would be a great way to kind of, you know, cruise into the weekend, Saturday night, something to look forward to, capping off an excellent series. But I think you got to have some concerns if you're the Spurs. You know, I'm not really worried about Wembanyama. It's been kind of a weird playoffs for him. You know, a lot of every other night type of games where he looks dominant one night and then kind of cools off the next. Certainly not a great effort from him in game five. I think he's going to be better. I'm already willing to play the over 26.5 points on Wembanyama for game six. Partially because, Jeff, you know, again, the Thunder were the team I was a little more worried about their secondary options. Dylan Harper has just not looked like the same guy over these last three games. He's been really quiet. He's playing reduced minutes off the bench. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is back in the mix, but he kind of looks like he's lost a step with that injury. You know, not quite as quick in transition, not quite as quick in the half court. And, you know, had a couple buckets when the Spurs were making their run in the second half last night, but was brutal to start the game and was part of the reason that San Antonio dug itself a 20-point hole. So I really thought outside of Champagne, who was excellent early on, you know, banged in a bunch of threes early in the game, and Stephon Castle, who had kind of a quiet 24 points, those are really the only two guys to me who played even an average game for San Antonio last night.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, Fox, I wonder if he's still playing a little hurt. We had the subterfuge when his status going in the first couple of games of the series. And I wonder how much that's affecting his play. But he and Wemby were a combined 0 for 9 from 3. Yeah, you're right. Castle and Champagne were fantastic. But as a whole, the team shot 29% from 3-point range, too. And when you're trying to catch up, you got to be able to hit a few of those threes. And they weren't able to do enough of that as well. Get that little breather tonight, basketball wise. We won't have a game tonight. So more time to prep for a pivotal game 6. Looking forward to seeing that one there. Before we talk about what else happened in the world of sports, quick note here from our friends over at us at RotoWire. You want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Sticking with basketball, the Cavs, they are going to return Kenny Atkinson as their head coach. Your reaction, Nick?
Good for Kenny Atkinson. I am generally in favor of continuity for teams that are competitive, right? And look, the way that the Cavs ended their season, a non-competitive sweep against the New York Knicks, it's brutal. But at the end of the day, you're in the Final Four, right? This was not a total disaster of a season by any means for the Cavaliers. And we'll talk about what their offseason might hold in a moment. But I will also say this, Jeff, it's not great when you have to come out and you see the breaking news alert from Shams Charania to confirm that you're not going to be fired. That means that there was a possibility that they would make that change. And look, it's honestly kind of similar to what their opponent, the New York Knicks, went through this time last year, right? Where they had a great playoff run. They ended up petering out in the Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. And their big move, instead of shaking up the roster, was, hey, let's fire Tom Thibodeau. Let's bring in a new voice. Let's bring in Mike Brown. And it ended up working for them. So to me, the Cavaliers, their ownership group, Dan Gilbert, he is not somebody who likes to sit on his hands. If they're going to bring back Kenny Atkinson, that tells me that they're not just going to run it back with this roster. I think their changes are going to come on the court. So as far as what they can do, I don't think there is a world in which they are parting ways with James Harden. I think that was part of the deal when they brought him in, is that he would be back with this team on a new deal. He'll opt out. They'll work something out. But they've kind of backed themselves into a corner now with this roster. Like, you are all in. When you trade Darius Garland, a much younger player, for James Harden, a much older player, this is the core that you've chosen to work with. I don't see them moving Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, and or Evan Mobley. Those would be the pieces that you could potentially put on the table. I'm sure they will sniff around Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think they will face significant competition to try to land him. That's probably option number one. There's certainly the possibility of LeBron James making another return to Cleveland as well, which is a little bit more complicated than it seems, especially given LeBron's reluctance to accept anything less than maximum money. If he's willing to do that, it becomes a lot easier. I don't think he will, but sacrifices are going to have to be made for the Cavaliers, and I think it's one of the big men. That's probably the position that they choose to shake up.
Yeah, and if they do swing big with either LeBron or Giannis, I mean, it just changes the offense entirely. It changes the way they play the game. You can't run the same sort of stuff necessarily with those guys. It's too much on ball for that. And, you know, Harden coexisting with either of those two players would, to me, it would strike me as a very interesting mix, volatile mix.
That's very true. And look, we said it at the time, Jeff, you know, when they brought in James Harden, and every team that's brought him in over the last decade has faced this conundrum. Like, you kind of have to play James Harden ball. You know, even though he's not the player that he once was, he's still a very good player, but he's not somebody who's ever really been interested or successful playing off the ball. I do think he's a slightly better defender than he's given credit for, but he's not, you know, a huge plus on that end. And look, even if you do find a way to bring in LeBron, maybe that ends up costing you Jared Allen in some sort of, you know, sign and trade or something like that. You know, you still have the problem of your defensive backcourt being Donovan Mitchell and James Harden. Neither of those guys are plus defenders, and then you're trying to find ways to make up for that with the rest of your lineup. Yeah, LeBron could still D up, but he is nowhere near the defender that he was even 5 or 6 years ago, let alone at his peak, which was, I don't even know when we want to say that was, Jeff, 15 years ago defensively. So that's always going to be, you know, I think something that the Cavs are going to deal with as long as they're riding this Mitchell and Harden duo. And like you said, if you bring in Giannis, if you bring in LeBron, you know, then you're kind of pushing James Harden down another rung in the offense. And the whole point of having James Harden is he's so good setting guys up, having the ball in his hands. If you're asking him all of a sudden to be like your third option, you're kind of taking a loss on that trade.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other notes. Hockey, Golden Knights beat the Avs. Avs were the betting favorite, the overwhelming favorite. And they got swept by the Golden Knights. Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup final for the third time in 9 years. What's your excuse for not making the finals of your respective sport when you can see Vegas doing that, starting off as an expansion team 9 years ago? That's really an incredible feat there to see that there. Nick, one thing in the NFL I wanted you to get your opinion on. Bucky Irving note came out there that he's recovering from offseason shoulder surgery, won't be in minicamp in June, you know, likely ready for training camp. I always worry about these sort of news items. Probably be ready for training camp. Any cause for downgrading him for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bucky Irving did not look like himself after coming back last season from ankle and shoulder injuries. I think Todd Bowles' exact words were, yeah, maybe he'll be back in the summer, maybe the fall. I mean, that implies that he could be missing games to start the year. So yeah, we're going to see a steeper discount on Bucky Irving. I think we are going to start to see the price rising on Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, absolutely. Switch the conversation to baseball. Eric Halterman joins us next on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Couple games in action right now in Major League Baseball. Got ourselves a nice little day slate. Cardinals Brewers will be starting up in about 25 minutes. Marlins Blue Jays, we're in the top of the first in Toronto. 0-0 is our score. Still in the top of the first between the Nats and the Guardians. Also a 0-0 game. So we'll keep you posted on all those in-progress games as the show rolls along. But it's Double Guest Wednesday here on Prop Points. So we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. We bring on the first of those great guests, Eric Halterman, features editor, MLB analyst for us at rotowire.com, at Eric_Halterman on Twitter, on X. Eric, I know you got a full card to share with us, so let's get right to it. Your Philadelphia Phillies on the road in San Diego this afternoon. Christopher Sanchez, currently your NL Cy Young favorite on the hill against Walker Buehler. What do you like here?
You can go a few different ways with this one. All things positive and Christopher Sanchez related seem to be in play these days. The one I like is his over outs prop to go over 20.5 outs. So that would mean to pitch at least 7 innings here against the Padres. Sanchez did not complete 7 innings in any of his first 7 starts this year, but that was mostly due to BABIP issues. The strikeout and walk numbers were very good. He had a .395 batting average on balls in play in those games, but over his last 4 starts, he's gone at least 7 innings in each of them, averaging 8 innings. His BABIP over that stretch is down to .250. He also has not given up any runs in those 4 starts. That means he has not given up a run in the month of May. I just saw a note that he is chasing the Phillies' all-time consecutive scoreless inning streak, a mark which was held by Grover Cleveland Alexander, going way, way, way back to the early days of baseball there. this is a legendary run we're seeing from Christopher Sanchez, who has always been a ground ball and walk base pitcher who got a decent amount of strikeouts, but he has even more strikeouts this year. His strikeout rate tipping up into the high 20s, which is not something we've seen from him before, 29%. And he hasn't lost any control or any grounders to go with it. Some of the best stuff in baseball, second best stuff plus behind Jacob Mizorowski. And I'm excited to see the Cy Young race between those two and probably a whole lot more over the next 4 months of the season.
You know, it's funny. I was just about to ask you about the Cy Young race. Sanchez is your betting favorite, but not by a lot over Mizorowski. Skeens was it until two starts ago, so that shows how volatile it can be. He's third now on the pecking order. Sale, Ohtani, Chase Burns, even sneaky Zach Wheeler pitching very well since coming off the IL. If you're looking for maybe a little bit of a longer shot, but just do you have a betting favorite here? Is there a player or a pitcher at price here? I'll give you the list here. Sanchez at plus 200, Mizorowski 260, Skeens 480, Sale 7-1, Ohtani, who's pitching tonight, 9-1. These are according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Do you have a favorite among those?
You know, it's tough for me to give an unbiased answer to this as a Phillies and Christopher Sanchez fan. I thought he should have won it last year. He was basically as good as Paul Skeens in most of the underlying numbers and threw a good deal more innings. I think he's going to have the innings lead among these favorites again this year, which in my mind does matter quite a bit. If Jacob Mizorowski is marginally more dominant than Christopher Sanchez, but Sanchez beats him by 30, 40 innings, which I think what might happen, I think that you really should look at who's getting considerably more outs. I'm not sure he's a much better bet than the rest of these guys. It's tough to bet on the favorite in a field which is this deep, but I do think it's correct that Christopher Sanchez is the favorite at this point.
Eric Altman from RotoWire joining us on the Progressive Guest Line with some baseball plays for today. Let's get back to the card, Eric. Mariners on the road against the Athletics. Logan Gilbert, Jeffrey Springs on the hill. You have a play on the total.
Yeah, I'm liking the under here. I know it is a good park to hit in Sacramento, and these two offenses are pretty decent, but I like both of these pitchers here. Logan Gilbert, the ERA is up to 4.04, but the ERA estimators, XFIP 3.56, Sierra 3.42, that's a good deal better. I think Logan Gilbert essentially is not the guy he was last year when suddenly he had a strikeout rate of 32%, but I think he still is the Logan Gilbert we saw for several years before that. He's somebody who can have a lot of success with a mid-20s strikeout rate because he doesn't walk many batters at all, 5.6% this rate this year, 5.4% for his career. I think this is basically the Logan Gilbert we've seen for most years outside of last year. Jeffrey Springs, on the other hand, a 4.11 ERA, but has had some decent starts lately, coming off a poor one, but the one before that allowed just one earned run in six innings. I think he's decent enough, and I think Logan Gilbert is still quite good despite the elevated ERA, so I think that over-under line is set just a bit too high.
Let's go out west. Look at the stay out west, I guess, is this case. The Diamondbacks and Giants. Two young pitchers, Michael Soroka, well, not so young as Soroka, but Trevor McDonald going for the Giants there. Soroka has been one of the good stories of the season, especially for the Diamondbacks, who have been getting better starting pitching this month. You like a total in this game?
Yeah, this one, the run line is lower, and the over-under is lower at 7.5 runs, but I like the under anyway. In this case, it is a very nice pitcher's park in San Francisco, and I like both of these pitchers. Soroka, in 8 of his 10 starts, has allowed 2 or fewer earned runs. He's got a 3.27 ERA on the year, which doesn't look to be much of a fluke. If you look at some of the ERA estimators, the XFIP 3.34, Sierra 3.43, that's a tiny bit of good luck there, but not a lot. Soroka has a 25% strikeout rate. That's his career high. A 6% walk rate is right in line with his career low from his breakout season back in 2019. He's no longer the elite ground ball pitcher he was back in the early part of his career, but lots of strikeouts, not many walks. That is a profile that should work going forward. And I'm intrigued by Trevor McDonald, even after he had a poor start his last time out. through four starts this year, he still has some pretty encouraging numbers. The ERA is now up to 4.76 after he was knocked around by the White Sox of all teams, but the XFIP and Sierra both south of 3. 22% strikeout rate, that's about league average. And when you combine a league average bat missing ability with just a 4% walk rate and a very high 63% ground ball rate, that is a pretty interesting pitcher. It's reminiscent of his teammate Logan Webb, for example. It's also reminiscent of the guy Michael Soroka looked to be early in his career. I think that's the formula that should work for McDonald. So I like both of these arms. I like the park. I don't think we're going to see a lot of runs.
Folks, Circus 2026 football contests are open, and you don't have to live in Las Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions. You can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. Just take one trip to Vegas and then play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment right now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Chatting with Eric Halterman from RotoWire, one of our baseball experts, giving us some plays for the Wednesday MLB card. Eric, Angels on the road at the Tigers. Jose Soriano taking on Casey Mize. The Soriano-Linsanity run come to an end over these last few starts. Eric, how are you playing this one?
Yeah, with Soriano coming back to earth, you could just look at the Tigers in this one, but the Tigers have been pretty bad. Not much on offense there right now. So the play I like the most is Casey Mize to go over 5.5 strikeouts. This is mostly because I like almost anybody to go over their strikeout number against the Angels. They have the worst strikeout rate in baseball, and against righties, they have the worst mark by over a full point. Casey Mize himself has a career best strikeout rate of 25%. Combine that with just a 6% walk rate, it's led to a 2.47 ERA and an 0.98 whip for him on the year. Looks like he is turning into the pitcher the Tigers thought they drafted first overall back in 2018. He's been, you know, decent to good thus far in his career, but there could be something here. This could be him rounding a corner. Now, I should say he only struck out 4 batters in both of his last 2 starts since he returned from an adductor strain, but I'm not all that worried there because he pitched very well on the whole. Just gave up 2 runs over those 2 starts combined on a total of 6 hits, 0 walks as well. So he's in a groove right now, even if he's not missing a ton of bats. I think the Angels are going to help him hit the over on his strikeouts nonetheless, because they'd help you or I do the same.
Real quick here, Eric, Yankees and Royals. Yankees really took it out on the Royals yesterday. Got about 30 seconds left here. Do they repeat today against Noah Cameron?
Yeah, Noah Cameron has really taken a big step back this year. And with Gerrit Cole on the mound, who threw 6 shutout innings in his first start back from surgery, I think I like them. I'd take them even on the run line to get a little bit of plus money here today.
All right, very good. Eric, great stuff as always. Appreciate you coming on board the Progressive Guest Line with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Eric Halterman. We're going to stay with another RotoWire guest. Ryan Andrade is going to join us next. We're going to preview the Colonial at the PGA, talking a little golf with Ryan, talking about this tournament and the changes at this tournament. Coming up next, this is Prop Points. You're watching VSiN.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wednesday edition of Prop Points rolling along here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Shout out to those listening along live on SiriusXM channel 158. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. It is indeed double guest Wednesday on the show. So we head back out to the Progressive Guest Line, bring in our friend Ryan Andrade. He writes about golf. He writes about college hoops, even a little NASCAR writing for us over at rotowire.com. You can check him out on Twitter, on X, at @Roto_Ryan. Again, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. We just laid out your resume, Ryan, but really you are here to help us talk some PGA Tour Charles Schwab Challenge coming our way this weekend. You are filling the shoes of the great Len Hochberg. So looking forward to getting some of your plays for the weekend, Ryan. First of all, tell us about the field. You know, it's been kind of an up and down last few weeks on tour as far as how many big names are actually out there. But what kind of depth of field are we looking at this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, it's pretty solid for, you know, one of these non-signature events. You know, you got seven players in the top 20 of the official World Golf Rankings. JJ Spahn leads the way at number 9. Interesting enough, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, both are not here. They've played this event every single year of their career. These guys are, you know, they're from the area. They love to play this event. But, you know, the PGA Tour schedule, it's tough right now. There's a lot of signature events. There's a lot of majors all packed into a short period of time. So, I mean, you know, it's tough. These guys got to take a week off at some point, and there's a big one next week at the Memorial. So that's just kind of the way it felt. But, you know, honestly, not too bad, I would say, for one of these non-signature events, just considering everything that's around at this point in time.
Let's talk about the course itself, Colonial. A pretty, you know, traditional course on the tour. It's not going to be a birdie fest like it was at TPC Craig Ranch last week.
No, that's for sure. I mean, it's interesting. You know, they're not far apart. Craig Ranch is a lot newer, but man, ever since that one came out on tour, they've been absolutely destroying that one. Colonial. It's a very old golf course, as you mentioned, but it's certainly stood the test of time. Actually, under a recent restoration a couple years ago by Gil Hance, who I think did a great job, made the course look kind of gave it an old rugged look. It brought a lot of the kind of natural hazards back into play, you know, some of the different sight lines. So I think it's great. This is always a great test for the players. Tee to green, very, very difficult course. Some of the narrowest fairways, some of the smallest greens on the PGA Tour. So you're going to be looking strokes gain approach, probably favoring accuracy over distance off the tee. There's going to be a lot of wedges in a lot of these par fours. A lot of these par fours are a little bit on the shorter end. That's going to be a key point to get to this week. So definitely ball striking is going to be important, but putting the last couple of years since the restoration has been really important as well. Ben Griffin was third here when he won strokes gained putting. Matty Schmidt finished second, actually led the field in strokes gained putting. So can't overlook that either.
So Ryan, you wrote up a great piece for us at RotoWire with all your favorite value plays. If you're putting together a DFS lineup for the tournament over on FanDuel, where are you starting? If you want to get one or two high-priced options in your lineup, who do you like this week?
Yeah, I think Ricky Fowler is the guy I'm picking to win this week. You know, he, I think, just checks all the boxes for me. He's playing extremely well right now, 3 top 10s in his last 4 starts. He's got a great record at Colonial. He's got 5 career top 16 finishes here. And the iron play has been really strong of late, gaining a lot of strokes there the last month or so. And he's also top 20 in strokes gained putting and scrambling, 7th in par 4 scoring, 6th in bogey avoidance. All of those are going to be really key stats for me this week. I think he kind of fits everything I'm looking for. You know, Ludvig Åberg is the favorite this week. You know, he's absolutely been doing pretty much everything but winning, a lot similar to what Siwoo Kim has been doing. You know, he's leading the way. I think given where he is on the odds chart, you know, when you look at on DraftKings, he's only 300 price more than Russell Henley is the second option. So I think Oberg's got a lot of good value there for sure.
If you're playing in a one and done pool, so we don't concern ourselves with price, do you go with Fowler? Or do you go with Åberg? Or do you consider holding one of those back for a signature event? Given the field here, obviously Åberg and Fowler are going to be two of the big favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Åberg is he's never going to be this much of a favorite in a field again the rest of the season. You know, mm-hmm. A little bit less than 10 to 1 this week. Russell Henley's the next guy up on the board at 20 to 1. So, if you're basing it off of that, I don't think that's a bad play, even if you still have him. Obviously, you know, we expect him to do well at, you know, some of the signature events in the majors. But hey, if you still got him, I don't think this is a bad play at all if you're trying to get a win. There's a lot of win equity there. I actually am going with Ricky Fowler this week, as I mentioned, just absolutely does everything I'm looking for. But, you know, as you mentioned, it's a non-signature event, so everybody's kind of in play. So it just kind of depends on where you are in the standings and where you're looking to go.
We'll get some more value plays from our guy Ryan Andrade in just a moment. But folks, the clock is ticking on one of the best VSiN Pro offers of the year. This is your final week to get a full year of VSiN Pro, normally $240 for just $199. When you sign up now, we'll throw in an extra 2 months free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. All you have to do is use the promo code PRO, P-R-O. You'll get daily best bets from all VSiN hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, from Circa, AI-powered prop tools, matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. And you'll get our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. This offer expires after May 31st. You got four more days to get your hands on it, so don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO, P-R-O. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Hanging out with Ryan Andrade, one of our golf experts at RotoWire via the Progressive guest line here on Prop Points. Let's look a little bit deeper. If you're putting together a DFS lineup, Ryan, maybe you're looking for, you know, semi-long shots to win this non-signature event. Who are some guys priced in, let's say, the 9,000s over on FanDuel who have piqued your interest this week?
Yeah, you know, I think a guy like Sungjae Im, he's played very, very well. He's coming off his third top 10 of the season, second in his last three starts. Kind of got off to a slow start this season, had a wrist injury that he kind of missed the first couple months of the season, but has definitely figured his game out. I think the iron play is still a little bit of a struggle, but the short game and putting has been absolutely amazing of late. He's got three career top 15s at Colonial. So I think he's a really good one. Christian Bezuidenhout is another one that really, really popped for me in a lot of the models that I drew up this week. Great. Another guy, great around the green, great putter. Six in strokes gained putting this season. He's also very strong in that 50 to 125 yard range. I call that the scoring range. A lot of the guys that have played very well here over the years were really, really good in that range. And he's got four top 25s in his last four starts at Colonial. So I think Sungjae Im, Christian Bezuidenhout, those are great guys to sort of have in the middle of your lineup to really pull the whole thing together that I think also have a lot of upside.
I want to look on the betting side of things here. A couple of long shots you like to get in the top 20. You have a cut besides having Fowler as one of your outrights. Who do you have as like top 10, top 20 bets?
Yeah, actually, Siwoo Kim Sungjae Im and Christian Bezuidenhout were a couple of mine for top 10s. And then if you want to go down to top 20s, Zach Boshu for a top 20 is plus 355. He's coming off his third straight top 25 finish at TPC Craig Ranch last week. They're going to get a lot of similar conditions that they face at Colonial. There's not going to be a lot of wind again. The greens are going to be very soft. There's been a lot of rain in the area, so I expect him to have another good week. And then AJ Ewart for a top 20 is plus 485. Very, very underrated player. Ranks really, really high in a lot of key stats for me this week. He's top 35 in par four scoring, bogey avoidance, greens regulation, scrambling, strokes gained putting. Really just checks all those boxes you're looking for. T19 a week ago at TPC Craig Ranch. He's got seven top 30s on the season. I think he can have another really good week.
All right, Ryan, we got about 30 seconds left. I know you mentioned AJ Ewart is one of your favorite value plays. He's in the 7,000s on FanDuel. Give us one more dark horse we should be keeping an eye on this week.
Yeah, you know, I think Jackson Suber is another one. He's six. I think he's in the high 7,000 range over on FanDuel, but top 15 strokes gained approach this season. If you're really high on approach, this is the week to play him because Suber is one of the best out there and certainly one of the best approach players in the 7K range this week on FanDuel.
There we have it. Great stuff from our guy, Ryan Andrade. You can find all of his work, including his excellent one and done picks, his FanDuel preview for the Charles Schwab over at rotowire.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, on X, at @Roto_Ryan. We'll finish the show off with some baseball talk. We'll give you some score updates. We'll give you all of Jeff Erickson's best bets for the Wednesday slate when we return. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Yeah.
watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're watching Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you up until the top of the hour. Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Matt Brown coming up next. As always, Jeff, we got a fun day slate. We got some evening games, some night games in Major League Baseball. So we'll get your plays in just a moment. But three games in action right now. Only one of those games has a run on the board. That is the Miami Marlins up 1-0 on Toronto. Otto Lopez with an RBI single that scored Xavier Edwards. We're in the bottom of the second in Toronto. 1-0 Marlins. 0-0 between the Nats and the Guardians. Bottom second there. And just heading to the bottom of the first between the Cardinals and the red hot NL Central leading Milwaukee Brewers, who have Chad Patrick on the hill going up against Dustin May. Jeff, let's take a look at what we have on your card. We'll go out to a game starting up in about an hour or so, a little over an hour. Mariners Athletics, talked about this one a bit with our guy Eric Halterman earlier in the show. It's Logan Gilbert taking on Jeffrey Springs. I believe Eric Halterman liked the under in this game. You are looking at a team total.
Yeah, and yeah, Eric did like the under 9 in this one here, and I get where he's coming from. I don't like Jeffrey Springs as much as he does, though. Springs has been a little rough as of late. He's lost his last 5 decisions. His last win was on April 14th. During that span since then, he's got a 5.89 ERA, 1.45 whip. That said, this is tricky a little bit. The Mariners against lefties haven't been great. Springs throws with his left hand. 79 WRC plus, 276 WOBA, 23.8% K percentage. They still don't have Cal Raleigh in that lineup. So this is a tough call. I do like the Mariners team total over a 4.5 because I do think they're going to get to Springs. And you get the added bonus of attacking their bullpen late in the game. The A's best reliever, Jack Perkins, threw a 4-inning outing on Monday, so he will not be available for this one here as well. And it's Springs pitching today and not Luis Severino, which Severino would be an automatic, like, okay, play the Mariners because Severino at home. But they called up Gage Jump. He got his first major league start yesterday. That pushed all the A's starters back a day. I do like the Gilbert side of things. So we can still, we can mutually coexist. You know, I think that the Eric's total on the 9 can still work out because Logan Gilbert could pitch well against the A's still.
Yeah, A's managed just one run in a 4-1 loss yesterday. Emerson Hancock picking up the win for Seattle. Let's take a look at Phillies Padres. Again, we touched with Eric Halterman, his guy Christopher Sanchez, your NL Cy Young leader right now, going up against Walker Buehler. And you also have us a Christopher Sanchez prop, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to find different ways to get that to get on board with Christopher Sanchez. 37.2% or 37.2 consecutive scoreless innings. Really remarkable stuff there. The Padres struggle against left-handers too. 74 WRC plus, 272 WOBA, 23.7% K percentage. So there's a lot of different ways to attack that. I like Eric's total outs, but I want to do something just different, just to be different there. So I'm going to go with the strikeouts instead. I'll go over 6.5 strikeouts, -110 over at MGM. If you want to go from an offensive standpoint, going attacking Walker Buehler seems like a good idea as well, especially in the daytime where the ball carries better at Petco.
Rays are on the road in their division at the Baltimore Orioles. Steven Matz, Trey Gibson on the hill for Baltimore. You were looking at a money line play here, Jeff, on a team that has been one of the best in baseball.
Yeah, and they've lost the first two games in the series against the Orioles, so maybe it's a little concern there. Maybe the bullpen got taxed a little bit. Steven Matz is going to have a little bit of a challenge here. They're going to need him to throw some innings because his usual pitchers that he pairs with aren't available to him. Jesse Schulten's pitched Monday, for instance. He's on the IL, but even if he weren't, he wouldn't be able to bounce back 2 days later. Griffin Jacks left yesterday's game after getting hit by a comebacker, so that also taxed the bullpen a little bit more. But the good news for them is that, again, this is another team that struggles against lefties in the case of the Baltimore Orioles. 85 WRC plus, 292 WOBA on this one here. And you get the fact is that the Orioles have their own pitching concerns. That they're bringing in Trey Gibson. Gibson has a 170 whip at AAA. So this is a guy who gives up a bunch of base runners. I just go ahead and I'm going to keep it simple. Go with the Rays on the money line. The best price I found, -108 over at FanDuel.
The Atlanta Braves are in Boston taking on the Red Sox. We get Bryce Elder, Connelly Early on the hill. What are you looking at in this one? Boston minus 118 on the money line. Total coming in at 8.5.
Yeah, I struggle with this one to find a play. And it's because of the pitching matchup here. Bryce Elder, is he for real or not? 4-2 ERA, 197, 4-2 record, 197 ERA, 0.99 whip. Is this supported? You know, because we look at Elder's career and he hasn't been that good of a pitcher. 327 FIP ERA suggests he's been running a little lucky. That's supported by a 227 BABIP, 82.5 left on base percentage. 72 is about average for a point of reference. And a 7.4 home run to fly ball rate averages about 10 as far as that goes. The Red Sox did hit three homers yesterday, including the first two batters of the game, Jaron Duran, Sedan Rafaela, were the guys that kind of went on that one there. I'm going to try to keep it going with Sedan Rafaela here. I think that's the play. With Jaron Duran here. I think that's the way I want to attack that there. I'm going to go with the Duran total bases. Looking at for the best odds on that one there. You can get over 1.5 total bases. Get that over at DraftKings plus 115. That's going to be my play for the day in that one there.
The Cincinnati Reds taking on the New York Mets out in New York. Andrew Abbott, the lefty on the hill, going up against Oscar Brazoban. Another play on the team total in this game, Jeff.
Yeah, and this one here is interesting too. And I want to mention that with Brazoban, he is just an opener. Jonah Tong, the highly touted prospect, is going to be the primary reliever. However, he struggled a little bit in both at AAA and the big league level so far. The Mets have lost 5 in a row. They've scored 2 or fewer runs in their last 6 games. They're going up against Andrew Abbott. He's won his last 4 decisions, 129 ERA, 114 whip over his last 5 starts. Yet another team in the Mets that struggles against lefties, 86 WRC plus, 290 WOBA. Let's just keep with the trend on this one here. The Mets team total is 3.5 over at DraftKings. I'm going to go under that, plus 105 over at DraftKings.
Got a few games coming our way in the late window tonight. Yankees Royals, that's Garrett Cole taking on Noah Cameron. We got Astros Rangers, the battle for Texas, of course. Jacob DeGrom, Mike Burrows on the hill. Anything for you, Jeff, in either of those two games?
You know, I was wrong about the overall total in Yankees and Royals yesterday. The Yankees single-handedly took care of that there. Every guy in the lineup had 2 hits. I'm just going to go back to the well. The Yankees continuing to score more runs against Noah Cameron, who had a good start last time. In fact, I saw people going ahead and picking him up last week or over the weekend, and glad we didn't get him because I don't like this matchup against the Yankees. Going to go the Yankees over 4.5 runs, minus 130 over at DraftKings.
I like it. Let's take a look at the one game in the true late window, Jeff, out west. Rockies, Dodgers, Sugano, Otani on the hill. Dodgers, preposterous favorites on the money line. If I'm seeing this correctly, minus 411 is the number. Totals coming in at 8. Can you find a way to play this game, Jeff?
Out of principle, do you even consider looking to see if you can take the Rockies on the money line just because you're getting such a high payout? I thought about it, couldn't do it, but it is a preposterous number there. Minus 411 at DraftKings, plus 330 on the Rocky side. And Sugano is decent, at least. But no, I'm going to go ahead and go with Otani and the strikeout prop. It's 7.5 Ks. You can get the best price I saw on that one is plus 106 over at FanDuel. We'll keep it simple. You know, the thing about Otani is I am a little bit worried because he got taken out of yesterday's game after getting hit by a pitch on the hand, that maybe he's a little shorter there, but I think it's still something you can play on there with the strikeouts. The Rockies just, they've reverted as of late. They don't have Mickey Moniak and he's their best left-handed hitter. He's on the IL right now. So I think you can find ways to use Otani to attack that there instead of going with ridiculous money lines.
Time for our best bets of the night, Jeff. Where are you taking us?
I'm going to take us back to Christopher Sanchez. Just go with the best pitcher going today, over 6.5 Ks, minus 110 over at BetMGM. What do you got for us today, Nick, with no basketball?
Well, we got basketball tomorrow, and luckily we have lines in advance of that game. So I'm going to give you, in addition to that, Wembanyama over 26.5 points, Stephon Castle over 6.5 assists. He's got to at least 6 assists in every game in this series, averaging over 7.5 for the series. You look at the advanced numbers on NBA.com/stats, 16.4 potential assists per game. Those numbers say that if the Spurs were converting those at the clip we would expect, Stephon Castle should be averaging about 9.6 assists per game for the series. So I will ride that number. Give me the over 6.5 assists for Stephon Castle. And look, Jeff, we got no basketball tonight. You're right. Bonus bets in Major League Baseball, the over 9 in Mariners A's. That's going to wrap up the Wednesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Money Moves, Stormy, Matt Brown, coming your way next.